The assembly will please come to order. We will be led in our opening prayer this morning by the Reverend James A. McAlpine. Microphone 6.
Let us pray.
O thou who hearest prayer, unto thee shall all the earth come. We thank thee, our Father, for a good night's sleep, for the facilities in which we can meet in comfort. And we thank thee for calling us together, not only our own denomination, but others around us, meeting together and separately, attending to thy business, and grant that in all things that we may reflect thy glory, thy love, thy truthfulness, and thy mercy in our dealings one with another and with the subject in hand. Give wisdom to our leaders and tenderness in our dealings one with another, for we seek thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We will hear the reading of the minutes of yesterday's session. Mic 3.
The assembly reconvened on Tuesday morning at 8 a.m., being led in prayer by Mr. William Joseph of the Evangelical Presbytery. The minutes of the previous meeting were read by the recording clerk, Reverend Edwin P. Elliott, Jr., and approved as read. The Reverend Morton Smith moved that the docket be amended to place the report on administration as a special order after Christian education on Thursday. Resolution 2 from New River Presbytery was presented by Mr. Robert H. Miller, and the resolution was referred by the Assembly to the Committee on Administration. Mr. L.B. Pete Austin III, Chairman of the Committee, introduced the special report of the Committee on Mission to the World.
The moderator appointed a committee of
thanks consisting of the Reverend Bernard Kuyper,
Reverend Richard Lynn Downing, and Mr. Duane Harder.
The Committee of Commissioners on
Judicial Business and the Committee of Commissioners on
Conference Center were excused
from the assembly to conduct their business.
The Reverend John Reginald Hill
was appointed assistant parliamentarian by the assembly.
The Reverend Michael D. Bolus
presented the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Administration,
recommending that the rules
for assembly operation be amended as follows.
8-1
was adopted. 8-4 adopted. Deletion in 8-4, subsection 3 was adopted. Section 9-1 was adopted. 9-2 adopted. 10-4, subsection 4, delayed. Section 10 was adopted. Mr. Jack Williamson presented the teaching and ruling elders and staff to the Coral Ridge, Plantation, and Key Biscayne Presbyterian Churches. The senior ministers addressed the assembly briefly. The Reverend W. Henry Bincroft presented the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the World. Recommendations 1 and 2 were adopted. Number 3 was approved. Number 4 was approved. Recommendation number 5, that dealt with section 10-6, was approved. A substitute motion calling for the original form rather than the form of the commissioners was then adopted. Recommendation 6 was adopted. 7 was adopted. 8 was adopted, 9 lost. The assembly refused to excuse the Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the United States. The order for the day, having arrived, the worship service began at 11:30 a.m. The Committee on Mission to the United States conducted the service. The sermon was delivered by Reverend J. Philip Clark. They came to the church at 10 p.m. Reverend J. Philip Clark closed the morning session with prayer. The assembly reconvened for the third session at 1:30 p.m. The assembly was led in prayer by the Reverend Mr. William J. Stanway. The moderator introduced fraternal delegates and churches and ecclesiastical fellowship. The Reverend Edison Salto and the Reverend Liam Barnes from the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod, and the Reverend Gerard Balmer of the Christian Reformed Church. Reverend Mr. Addison Salto briefly addressed the assembly, as Reverend Mr. Gerard Balmer had the previous day. The state of church explained that because the other churches were meeting concurrently with the Presbyterian Church in America, and delegates were freely mingling during meals and breaks, official fraternal delegates had not been sent by the Orthodox Presbyterian Church or the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. The Permanent Committee on Mission to the United States was excused from the assembly to conduct its business. The Reverend Mr. David H. Joshua presented the report of the Assembly Theological Examining Committee. Recommendations 1, 2, and 3 were adopted. Section 4 had an amendment proposed, which was then referred to the Permanent Committee on Judicial Business. As amended, the report of the Assembly Theological Examining Committee has been adopted. The report of the Committee of Commissioners and the Conference Center was then presented to the Assembly. The Conference Center Subcommittee presented a slide presentation. Mr. Charles Scott was given the privilege of the floor to present the master plan for developing the Conference Center. Recommendations 1 through 8, page 617 in the handbook, were adopted. Number 9 was amended, principally with the deletion of Section 2, and then adopted. The budget page is 604 and following was then referred.
Number 11 was adopted.
The Assembly adopted the report as amended.
The Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control of Presbyteries was
then excused. Reverend Carl Bull
presented the report of the
Interim Committee on Abortion.
A motion to delete the showing of the committee's
slide presentation was not adopted by the Assembly.
The moderator excused.
Any commissioners who wished not to view the slide presentation. Thereupon, William Thompson, a ruling elder from Mississippi Valley Presbytery, presented the slide presentation. The recommendations 1 and 2 were adopted. Recommendations 3 and 4 referred to the Committee of Commissioners on Administration for financing. The Assembly recessed, reconvening at 7 p.m. with prayer by the Reverend Edwin P. Elliott, Sr. The Reverend James E. Moore assumed the moderator's chair at the invitation and request of the moderator. The Assembly returned to the report of the Editorial Committee on Abortion. Recommendation 5 was amended and adopted. Recommendation 3 was then adopted and again referred for financing. Number 4 adopted as amended by a substitute amendment. Number 6 was adopted, 7 adopted, 8 was adopted as amended. The Reverend Eugene Case asked that his negative vote be recorded. 9 and 10 were then deleted. The report of the Interim Committee on Abortion was adopted as a whole as amended. The Reverend Robert Ben Vincent, Sr. asked that his dissent be recorded. Guests were introduced. The Reverend Mr. Donald R. Estey introduced representatives of the Korean American Presbyterian Church. We have their names listed here. And the Deacon, a pastor from the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Evangelical Synod. We have those both in English and Korean if you're interested. The Reverend Harry N. Miller presented the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Christian Education and Publications, a partial report. Mr. Richard Kinning, spokesman for the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod and for Covenant College, was given the privilege of the floor. The Christian Education Subcommittee on Covenant College presented 4 amendments to the report to the Christian Education and Publications Committee. Number 1, 2, and 3 were adopted. At the direction of the Assembly, The session was continued until 10 p.m. The assembly returned to consideration of the report of the Committee Commissioners on Christian Education and Publication. At this time, recommendation number 4 was adopted. The assembly excused the Committee Commissioners on Judicial Business and the Judicial Commission from attending the 8 a.m. Wednesday morning session. The following resolution is introduced by the Committee of Commissioners on Administration. Resolution number 3, referring to unity and harmony. The Assembly received the resolution and referred it to the Committee of Commissioners on Administration. The following resolution is introduced by Mr. Frederick Fowler. Resolution number 4, relating to theonomy. The Assembly referred the resolution to the Bills and Committee of Commissioners on Bills and Overtures. The Assembly recessed at 10:10 p.m. The Reverend Mr. Lloyd Jones led the Assembly in prayer.
You've heard the reading of the minute. Are there any corrections or additions? I recognize microphone 13.
Mr. Moderator, this is Steve Wilkins from Grace Presbytery. I have a question about the status of what we did concerning Covenant College. I don't know whether this is a correction to the minutes or not. I just want to know what the status of that action was. There was, I think, confusion on the part of the commissioners as to what we were doing because of the statement from the state clerk and the chairman of the subcommittee that presented the report. The mimeograph pages say that this is the Christian Education Subcommittee on Covenant College Amendments and Changes to be recommended to the Christian Education Committee and Commissioners. Now, it was our understanding, at least I think the majority, or many at least, of the commissioners' understanding, that this was going to be sent back to the Committee of Commissioners to be re-presented to the Assembly as a whole for action. And many of the commissioners were, I think, thinking that, as our state clerk suggested, that we get the best thing possible.
Well, you're suggesting that it would be inaccurate to say that that was adopted.
I'm just asking a question. I don't know whether it was accurate or not, because is it going to come back before us, this question on what we did last night? That's the issue, because of what it says at point.
Moderator, as I made that remark about the fact that we were just to clean this up and that you would, even if you were opposed to it, to get as clean a report as possible, the representative of Covenant College would sitting down here nodding his head that that's what we were doing last night. Now, we really need a statement probably from the Committee of Commissioners on Christian Education as to whether that is a correct thing, or someone from the committee, maybe Mr. Donahue could help us
wait a minute. You mean in respect to the way the minutes read, or in respect to the way the action was taken? Or?
Well, I'm answering in respect to the action taken. I think we did act on those things last night, just as the minutes read. But whether or not it is to come back, it's my understanding it is going to come back again in the full report.
Charles, is that coming back or not? In part?
Which part?
We're not going to discuss which part. Right now we're discussing the minutes. Microphone 7, you have anything about the minutes?
John Clement, Central Georgia. Yes, sir. I think the minutes as read are what we did last night. We adopted a partial report of the Committee of Commissioners.
Okay.
Now, the wording at the top of that paper was that was a subcommittee of the Committee of Commissioners reporting to the full Committee of Commissioners, but it was the full Committee of Commissioners that brought it to the floor to take that action.
The assistant clerk tells me that the word partial does appear in the minute.
Thank you, sir.
Does that satisfy the assembly? Does that satisfy you, sir?
I just 13.
So then this is not going to come back before the assembly.
It is, in part, coming back before the assembly.
Not the whole question.
Okay. Mr. Clement, the 7 again.
In the report of the Permanent Committee on Christian Education, and I've lost my page in the handbook, if somebody can get it for me very quickly, we have a list of recommendations. from the permanent committee to the committee of commissioners. It's on page 709. And those recommendations are recommendations 7, 8, 9, and 10, all concerning higher education in the college. What was done last night was to deal with recommendation number 10 from the permanent committee as reported by the committee of commissioners. But the subjects under recommendation 7, 8, and 9 will come back before.
If the assembly is satisfied with respect to the minutes, that's not the issue, but the minutes, microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, on another item, when you finish with
just
that,
a minute,
on the
just
minutes.
A minute. If the assembly is satisfied in respect to the minutes on this item, and then I'll be right back to you. Microphone 16.
Dan Moore, Central Georgia Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, it's my understanding that this was a partial report of that committee,
right,
and that the committee report as a whole needs to be adopted.
It will be later.
So then, actually, there will be a revote on that question when we adopt the committee vote for the committee report as a whole.
This is correct.
Thank you.
All right. And I'm assuming that the assembly, and I think that the assembly is satisfied in respect to this item in a minute. Microphone 11.
Under the exception on abortion, item 3 was approved and referred to the Administration Committee for financing. Item 4 was approved but was not so referred according to your record. It may be a technicality, but the money will be important, and we did refer that also.
Is that the sense of the assembly? That correction, is that the sense of the assembly? I see no objection. It is the sense of the assembly that item 4 was also so referred. I'm ready for a motion that the minutes be approved as amended. So moved. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. A personal word from the moderator with your permission. If I seem to be a bit pushy, it is because even at this early stage and with almost 3 days remaining, we are under pressure as to time already. Yesterday was our shake-up cruise, and the moderator was thoroughly shaken up. The assembly may or may not have been, but we will proceed with your permission and with your forbearance, and if the moderator proceeds too precipitously, erroneously, incompatibly, or in any other fashion, please feel free to call him down. We have two problems this morning. First, in respect to the orders of the day, but before the orders of the day come up, the Committee on Judicial Business has a matter that has to be settled immediately because of a problem that has arisen in the schedule of an important member of that committee. I think that they want to be excused, Mr.
No, Mr. Moderator, they'd like to make a partial report about the second of the judicial cases. Yeah, it's my understanding they're going to say that we not hear it, but the man who has brought that case is waiting to see whether it's going to be heard. If it's not going to be heard, then he can go home. And I think it's a matter of courtesy to him if the assembly could clear this up. It shouldn't take but just a couple of minutes.
Would the assembly be willing to insert this item in advance of the order of the day? I didn't hear anybody say so moved. Microphone 11.
Move.
So moved. And second, any debate to insert this brief item in advance of the order of the day? Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. We are ready to hear that.
While he's coming, the Committee of Commissioners on Administration is supposed to be meeting at this time. They were excused last night. They do not yet have a quorum. If there are any of you who are on that committee, you should be at your meeting room. And then I also have this announcement that a commissioner lost some money last night as he was leaving through this area. If any of you found simply cash money, if you'll turn it in here, I'll try to get it back to that commissioner.
I hope it wasn't a pickpocket. Is there a paper to be distributed, Mr. Chairman? If there's a paper to be distributed, then I have something further I want to suggest while distribution takes place. Will the teller please come or distribute?
Fathers and brethren, will you please give me your attention in one important respect? Yesterday morning, we had a special order on mission to the world, and that special order was interrupted at a providential time, and I think a helpful time, by a season of worship conducted by Mission of the United States. So both matters were before us. Now, Mission of the World has not completed its business, although there remains a little yet to be done. We now have a special order for mission to the United States with worship, I believe, to be conducted by Mission to the World. It seems to me that, in fairness, the Assembly may wish to allow Mission to the World to complete its business before the special order on Mission to the United States is brought up, in order to balance the docket or the agenda, so to speak, and have the same type of situation we had yesterday. But in order to do that, the Assembly would have to suspend its rules in order to allow Mission to the World to complete the business portion, so we can then hear the special presentation from Mission to the United States. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is there anybody in the Assembly who would wish to have an opinion on that subject? Yes, sir. Microphone number 11.
Frank Moser, Central Secretary, member of the Arrangement Committee on Committee of Administration, and sir, I would move that we proceed with the order of the day at a time so that these committees may have their prime time, as it was the intention to do. If there isn't much business to Mission of the World, it can be worked in at a later time in the docket. But you asked for somebody who had an opinion, and that's why.
That's what I asked for. And that's a motion. Is there a second to the motion to proceed with the standard order? It has been seconded. Microphone 13.
Mr. Moderator, Kennedy Smart, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, Coordinator of Church Relations with Mission to the World, and I heartily concur with this. I think that we have come to hear the presentation of the mission to the United States. We're in the mood for that, and it's time to hear.
Do you concur? No, sir. Microphone 5.
We believe that we do not.
This is Philip Clark from Pacific Presbytery. We do not believe we have prime time yet, looking around, and we're just in the mood to wait until everybody gets here and allow Mission to the World to go ahead.
All right, we're not going to argue about this. Proceed. Motion all morning because the committee chairman before me is ready to make a report. So I'm going to put the question right now. The motion before the House is that we proceed as soon as this committee is completed with the order of the day. If you support that motion, will you say aye? Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Mr. Chairman, proceed with your report.
Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, this partial report is brought to you with the following recommendation: that this General Assembly instruct the Presbytery of the Mid-Atlantic to schedule at the next stated meeting of that Presbytery a new hearing on the original charges brought by ruling elders of New Covenant Presbyterian Church for Virginia Beach, Virginia, against the Robert Shoup in accordance with the provision of Book of Church Order 44-5, and charge the Presbytery to conform to the Book of Church Order and to keep all principles to the issue informed in timely fashion. It is further recommended that if a complaint or appeal should come prior to the 7th General Assembly pertaining to the above matter, the following serve as a judicial commission to adjudicate the matter. Ruling elders Ernest Mason, James Westlake, Larry Mick, Robert Kirksey, Kenneth Reichamp, Henry Lincoln, George Gully, with alternate Ralph Langford and John Moore. Teaching elders Thomas A. Cook to serve as convener, John Oliver, John Cleland, Russell Toms, Robert Canada, C.D. Murphy, F. Nigel Lee, W.J. Stanway, alternates Gordon Reed, Jack Eubanks, and John Holmes. I so move this recommendation, sir. It comes with the recommendation of the committee, so it doesn't need a second.
if I might speak to this.
Yes, sir.
This action is taken in this fashion. It is not in agreement with the recommendation of the permanent committee that you'll find in your handbook. There's recommendation number 20. The ground for our different course of action lies in the last clause or phrase of recommendation 20. That's page 507 of your manual. In order for us to proceed at this assembly with this matter, it would not require that the assembly lay aside its rule, but rather that the assembly would be asked to waive a provision of the Book of Church Orders. And because of that necessity, we have disagreed with the permanent committee and are bringing the recommendation to you in this form that it be remanded to presbytery. We recognize that there is a potential expense involved, and we have by memorandum advised the Committee of Commissioners on the administration of this fact, and they have that under advisement. Microphone 7.
Don Clement, Central Georgia. Mr. Moderator, I move to divide the question.
Divide the question with respect to the paragraph.
Yes, sir.
It has been moved the question be divided, whether each of the two paragraphs be voted on separately. Is there a second to that motion? Secondly. We're going to vote on dividing the question. Are you ready? If you favor dividing the question, would you please say aye? Opposed, no. The ayes have it. We're going to vote on the entire recommendation at one time. I have two low ones seeking a microphone for discussion of the substance. We're going to vote on the recommendation. All in favor of the recommendation, please hold up your hand. That's it. All opposed to the recommendation, please hold up your hand. Mr. Chairman, you have a good number. Thank you, sir. And that commission is hereby appointed. And present, just a minute. Just the convener is on there. Thomas Cook is coming in. Thank you, sir. We are ready for the order of the day, which is a presentation by the Senate Committee on Missions to the United States.
Somehow seems to give commissioners in the bleachers the feeling that they
are separated from what's going on the floor. And two commissioners have called the moderator's attention to the fact that conversation in the rear of the room sometimes makes business difficult to follow. I'm sure that the brethren would want to be very careful in respect to
anything in the rear of the room that would interrupt the proceedings of the assembly. Thank you. Mr. Geiger, you have the floor. Mr. Moderator, Father and Brethren, I will take only a few moments because we do have an exciting report to make concerning the 5 and 5 campaign. But we on the permanent committee felt that some general remarks need to be made to the assembly concerning the activities of this permanent committee of mission to the United States. We first of all come to thank the churches, the presbyteries, who came so courageously to our help in a time of serious need. Secondly, we come as a committee to say that we have not always acted as we would have hoped we could have in regard to some of the men that we have been supporting. Yet we, by the generosity of the assembly, have fulfilled all contracts as far as we know. A committee is not perfect. Any of you who work on permanent committees know that there are mistakes, there are errors. We come to admit these. But in spite of the deep difficulties through which we have gone as a committee, God is sovereignly working out his purpose to show us areas of weakness and to set us on a new, more practical, realistic, and positive course. We are deeply concerned about a number of the directions, and I want to present these to you. We are very concerned to be a true coordinating committee. We are asking our new coordinator, whoever that might be, to work hard in full cooperation with the Presbytery Committees on Mission to the United States. What we've never probably understood is that the work of Mission to the United States is a two-pronged work. We are accomplishing this ministry through the permanent committee, and we are accomplishing it through the presbyteries, and we've got to somehow dovetail this. And we do not look upon our work as starting new churches in pioneer areas and the presbyteries' work as being their own. We want somehow to be a true coordinating committee, to see their work as one work. And I think if you could add, I do not have these figures, but if you could add the ministry in a financial way that appears in the report to all of the presbytery budget on mission to the United States, then you would have a picture of really the dynamic work that is going on in this denomination. And somehow we need to cooperate to a greater extent. We also believe, as we move ahead in a positive way, rebuilding some of our ministry and structure and procedures, admittedly, we believe that one of the mandates given to this permanent committee by the assembly is to have a ministry of evangelism and church growth to our existing churches. Gentlemen, it does not help the ongoing ministry of the assembly to have many new churches if we have many of our existing churches that are just stated for churches. We need to see dynamic growth in our existing churches. Then it is that they will be able to move their churches, that church or pioneer churches, which is by far the best way of handling church growth in our estimation. We want to see which prejudice before you will be, and I hopefully do not prejudice it with you. I'm inviting the ministry to minority, to the poor, and to the urban area. And we already have, I think that there's some a significant number of our men working in urban areas among minorities and the poor. A vast challenge to us. And a challenge I think we need to face as we convey to this great nation we are a national church interested in all kinds of people regardless of their race or color or economic status. And we are not moving as a new direction into that work. We are in that work. And I think maybe for the first time in our church, it will come clear to you how much we're already doing. We need to do more. We thank you for your prayers. We are a young family, and we have been that is a great grace of God through. And we're going to be thankful for it. And we can look forward to a positive time of growth all to God's love. And we as a committee just wanted to take this time to pray for all of you who prayed and gave. Thank you very much. Of my own brand of humility when I come to the higher platform.
Mr. Geiger, as you come to the microphone, another personal item, please. I have two notes up here from commissioners who have been seated near the rear of the room and who have called attention to the fact that there is something psychological, apparently, about occupancy of the bleacher section that somehow seems to give commissioners in the bleachers the feeling that they are separated from what's going on the floor. And two commissioners have called the moderator's attention to the fact that conversation in the rear of the room sometimes makes business difficult to follow. I'm sure that the brethren would want to be very careful in respect to anything in the rear of the room that would interrupt proceedings of the assembly. Thank you. Mr. Geiger, you have the floor.
Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, I will take only a few moments because we do have an exciting report to make concerning the 5 and 5 campaign. But we on the permanent committee felt that some general remarks need to be made to the assembly concerning the activities of this permanent committee of mission to the United States. We first of all come to thank the churches, the presbyteries, who came so courageously to our help in a time of serious need. Secondly, we come as a committee to say that we have not always acted as we would have hoped we could have in regard to some of the men that we have been supporting. Yet we, by the generosity of the assembly, have fulfilled all contracts as far as we know. A committee is not perfect. Any of you who work on permanent committees know that there are mistakes, there are errors. We come to admit these. But in spite of the deep difficulties through which we have gone as a committee, God is sovereignly working out His purpose to show us areas of weakness and to set us on a new, more practical, realistic, and positive course. We are deeply concerned about a number of the directions, and I want to present these to you. We are very concerned to be a true coordinating committee. We are asking our new coordinator, whoever that might be, to work hard in full cooperation with the Presbytery Committees on Mission to the United States. What we've never probably understood is that the work of Mission to the United States is a two-pronged work. We are accomplishing this ministry through the Permanent Committee, and we are accomplishing it through the Presbyteries, and we've got to somehow dovetail this. And we do not look upon our work as starting new churches in pioneer areas and the Presbyteries' work as being their own. We want somehow to be a true coordinating committee, to see the work as one work. And I think if you could add, I do not have these figures, but if you could add the ministry in a financial way that appears in the report to all of the presbytery budget on mission to the United States, then you would have a picture of really the dynamic work that is going on in this denomination. And somehow we need to cooperate to a greater extent. We also believe, as we move ahead in a positive way, rebuilding some of our ministry and structure and procedures, admittedly, we believe that one of the mandates given to this permanent committee by the Assembly is to have a ministry of evangelism and church growth to our existing churches. Gentlemen, it does not help the ongoing ministry of the Assembly to have many new churches if we have many of our existing churches that are just status quo churches. We need to see dynamic growth in our existing churches. Then it is that they will be able to mother churches, pioneer churches, which is by far the best way of handling church growth in our estimation. We want to see this committee become more dynamically involved with existing churches. Then, of course, we also want to maintain an aggressive, expanding ministry into pioneer areas, geographical areas that do not come under the physical boundaries of a given presbytery. And we are excited about all of the opportunities. People have asked the question, are you only interested in starting new churches outside the major geographical area of our denomination, the South? No. Many dynamic areas that need churches in the South, as well as the North, the Midwest, and the Far West. Then, of course, before you will be, and I hopefully do not prejudice the issue, an exciting new ministry to minorities, to the poor, and to the urban areas. And we already have, I think this will come forth in the report, a significant number of our men working in urban areas among minorities and the poor. A vast challenge to us, and a challenge I think we need to face as we convey to this great nation we are a national church interested in all kinds of people, regardless of their race or color or economic data. And we are not moving as a new direction into that work. We are in that work. And I think maybe for the first time in our report, that will come clear to you how much we're already doing. We need to do more. We thank you for your prayers. We are a young assembly, and we have been through a crisis. And God, in His great grace, has brought us through. and we're going to be stronger for it, and we can look forward to a positive time of growth, all to God's glory. And we as a committee just wanted to take this time to say to all of you who prayed and gave, thank you very much. Fathers and brethren, it's typical of my inborn humility that I come to the high platform. I think you will understand before I am done that it is not for myself I so am put, but rather for those that will be with me on this program. About a year ago, I came alive to the need of the churches that do not have buildings. I should have been alive before to it. I lived through it in Panama City, Florida. A dirty, miserable club room in a park, and then we got promoted to a school that was still dirty. And we lived through that period to a very beautiful church building, cushioned pews, cushioned on the bottom, cushioned on the back, cushioned on the back of the back. And we've come through that, but somehow or other I had not really empathize with the 60 churches and more that there are across our assembly that are in that predicament 4.5 years after our church has come into existence. And my dear brothers in Christ, I don't know whether it grabs your heart to worship in a lovely building, as most of you do every Lord's Day, to understand that there are congregations, and what kind of people are they? They're just like you and just like your people that are worshiping uptown and out in suburbia in beautiful and lovely churches. The other Sunday I went out to Willowood Church on the edge of Jackson, Mississippi with my wife. We went into the schoolyard. We had to drive up into a hidden place and no sign out. No reason to have a sign because it was off the beaten trail. Nobody would see the sign except those already coming to the meeting. We went into that meeting literally heartsick. What I'm saying is that a year ago, I vowed with my own spirit and before the Lord that I would not be satisfied until I had done everything I possibly could to get our churches out of their schools and their houses and their trailers and their restaurants, one called the Flaming Pit down there in Pompano Beach, and whatever else, you name it, we've got it. Until we had them in their better position. And I'm not talking to you this morning, but I'm going to let others talk and come across this platform, and if they will now, at this time, these men that need buildings, if you're out in the back and you're one of them, and you need a building, I want you to come and line up over here and come on up across the platform, and each man is going to have a minute. You may think as we begin it's a circus. You may think it's funny as we begin, but I trust before we're done that it will really indeed touch your heart to understand this is what the 5 and 5 campaign is all about. It's been my privilege to have to see dinners down in Florida and elsewhere on behalf of this campaign, and to have these men speaking for 5 and 10 minutes to describe their situation. And it never ceases to thrill my soul. Now, if you men will come on, just be a continuous flow, and as you leave the mic, don't be in a hurry. I want you to move off slowly and go around the platform that way. Let them see you all. You're going to hear something that you never could have imagined could happen. Nigel Lee speaking for 1 minute. And at the end of 45 seconds or 50 seconds, I'll put my hand gently on the man's back. It will be heavier and heavier until finally I move him along, still talking maybe. But come on, dear brother, come on.
Tom Hudson, I'm in the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Westchester is about 30 miles southwest of Philadelphia and growing Chester County, Our work began 4 years ago, and we were organized December 4th. The biggest blessing that we've had is we've had the privilege to be the first PCA church in the Philadelphia area. Philadelphia, as you may know, is kind of the heartland of Presbyterianism in our country, and it's been very significant to us that we were able to raise the first witness to the Reformed faith in this area. We need a building for two reasons. One, for ourselves, our Sunday school programs are seriously hampered as we meet in a township building, and there just isn't room for Sunday school classrooms. The second reason is related to the being the first PCA church. We need a visible witness in the Philadelphia area to our denomination. There are other churches that are considering the PCA. There are conservative United Presbyterian churches, and we need to show them that we mean business and we're here to stay. My name is Dale Smith. I'm organizing pastor of the Irving Presbyterian Church in Irving, Texas. God's greatest blessing upon our work is to be seen undoubtedly in the people whom God has raised up in Irving, Texas, as he has established his church there. Our need for a building is great. 4 months ago, we were meeting in a vacant Church of Christ building, the sanctuary of which seated 500. Now we're meeting in the upstairs, dark, dingy, dismal educational wing of an abandoned Church of Christ building in downtown Irving, in a room which seats approximately 40, a room that measures 15 by 30. We're overflowing it. The available space in Irving is at a minimum, and we feel it's imperative that we make as few temporary moves as possible in this interim period. We look forward to establishing ourselves quickly. We're hoping that the 5 and 5 campaign will provide the funds that we need to make this move to our own permanent location. My name is Chuck Green from Orlando, Florida. Greater Orlando has over 600,000 people in it. We are the only PCA church. We are only one of a handful of Bible-believing churches. One of our goals and objectives over the many years ahead is to start several churches under our authority and leadership in the greater Orlando area. The harvest is great there, but the cost of land and building, as you know, is prohibitive. If you will help us to buy land, we plan to multiply the witness of Christ in Central Florida. We would like to look for you to look at it as an investment. None of us would like to beg for money, but look at it as an investment in multiplying the witness of Christ in this country. And also, if you will help us to buy land and a building in Orlando, we will host the General Assembly at Disney World. My name is Tom Irby. I'm from Haines City, Florida, and Central Florida Presbytery. I'm on the other side of Disney World, so if you'd like to come there, you can too. We're about 20 miles from Disney World, about 8 miles from Circus World, 5 miles from Cypress Gardens, 15 miles from SeaWorld. We considered calling the name of our church Mickey Mouse Presbyterian Church, but the Haines City is a town of about 8,000 people, with about 25,000 in the general area, and we have been there for 10 months. We have seen good growth since we've been there. We've gained from about 13 to begin with to about 50 now, and we've seen several conversions, and the Lord has blessed us in many ways there. Our biggest problem is that we don't have credibility in the community. In a smaller town, as some of you know, credibility is very, very important. We have credibility in our witness, but people are not sure we're going to remain. They want to know that we're going to be there next week and a month from now. And a building would be the best way to bring credibility to our group. We have seen good growth, but I can see much more growth to follow as soon as we can gain this credibility with many of the people in the town. It might not be a right attitude on their part, but it is a reality in a smaller town. And I'm sure some of the other men will have the same problem. We meet now in a school, and it is adequate, but we have it only temporarily. Thank you. I'm Bill Fox from Concord Presbyterian Church in Gulf Breeze, Florida. That's about a mile from Pensacola Beach. We're busy down there. I've been to the beach 3 times in 2 years, and 2 of those times were on church-related functions. We are meeting in a Lutheran church at 8 o'clock in the morning, so whoever comes out at that hour of the morning is serious about Christianity. We are getting ready, though. No indication of our lack of sincerity. We're going to move to the high school next month. We've taken a step in faith and gone ahead and purchased property. We've arranged for a loan, and we're going to build the first stage of a multipurpose building. We come from a middle-income group, but you may recall that our church, what blessings can we give of an indication of our spirituality? You may recall that our church was the highest in per capita giving in our presbytery toward world mission. We were, I believe, about one of the highest in the denomination in total per capita giving, $623. That's an indication of the spirituality of the people who go out and begin a new church. They're serious about Christianity. They're serious about their spirituality. We want a church building to alleviate an identity problem and also to show the world or bring in to God's kingdom more people who are serious about spirituality. And sorry, there has been an omission. I'm going to ask Tom Hughes to be sure that there are sheets here, blue sheets with writing, and they're to be passed out to the commissioners. You're to have them in your hand and read them when you're listening, and as you're listening, no, they're wrapped up. They're right there. That's it. That's it. Yes. That blue sheet. That's it. Yeah, there's a lot on it. Pass it out. You see your buddy next to you that put it away or something, you pull it out, give him a poke, and tell him to keep it out in front where he can read it. When we neglect certain portions of the Word of God, we got to emphasize them all over again. There are three arteries from the heart, one for world missions, one for Christian education, and one for mission in the United States. And if you have a clamp on one or two of those arteries, we don't want you to put a clamp on the other. The third, you die. We want you to be able to open all the three arteries. And then there's also a report on the 5 and 5 campaign. They're supposed to be passed out too, Tom, if you will, please. They are. Okay. Thank you so much. Bob Wilson. Bob Wilson from the Cross Creek Presbyterian Mission in Fayetteville, North Carolina. God has blessed us over this first year of mission work there in Fayetteville by teaching us to depend completely and totally upon Him, because He is faithful to us and present with us. He is also teaching us to be content in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, and also to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. We began meeting there 1 year ago in a theater building. We had to leave the theater building after some 2 or 3 months, and now are presently meeting in a two-story house. We're in a city of approximately 100,000 people, and there are some 26 other Presbyterian churches in that city. Brethren, we need a building. I'm Skip Ryan from Trinity Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. We've been organized just a little over a year. The church has been going for just not quite 2 years at this point. I suppose our greatest couple of blessings would involve the fact that we're in the midst of Jefferson's University, and we have a large number of university students, graduate students, and undergraduates that worship with us. I think in addition to that, we've enjoyed a tremendous blessing in being a congregation of people that come from diverse backgrounds. We even have a few Baptists in our church, and it's tremendous. We've got a very rich diversity of people in our church, and that's been a great blessing. We meet in the facilities of a private school. We meet in the chapel and classroom building. The chapel is down in the basement. It's two very long flights of stairs down, and our problem is that with older people who would like to come and visit our congregation and actually become more a part of our church, they're unable to because those stairs present a tremendous obstacle to them. So we are in the process of making the decision to purchase land at this point, and are looking forward to the time when God will provide us with our own facility. Thank you.
Jim Luce from Providence Presbyterian Church, Savannah, Georgia. We're a small congregation with 52 members, 14 non-community members. We're meeting in a kindy care building which costs us approximately $150 a month. The situation is designed for little children with little chairs and little tables. We have 75 folding chairs that we set up on Friday night together with our Providence Presbyterian homemade sign in the parking lot. Sunday night after the final worship services, we tear down the tabernacle so that the building can be used Monday through Friday for these little ones. Our elders and our flock are optimistic with the work, which is the only reform work on the south side of Savannah, which, by the way, the experts predict is going to be the fastest growing area in the United States. So, by God's grace, we're going to continue to grow. We covet your prayers in this matter of a building. Reverend David Gullett from Santa Grove, North Carolina. We are presently meeting in a former funeral home. It's an old two-story colonial house with a chapel attached to the side. Approximately 3 years ago when we had to leave our previous building and for the faith. Some of them remarked that they didn't know whether they could worship in a building in which there had been dead bodies and people had been embalmed. But we reminded them that even in the church that they had left, that bodies had lain in state there for funerals. We do praise the Lord that He has provided us a temporary place, but we do need better facilities. 1 minute. I'm Nigel Lee, and as Don Graham says, I have 1 minute. Brethren, I was saved in a gold mine, and I enjoyed it. Right after that, I started breaking the Word of God in hospitals, and I enjoyed it. And since then, I've preached God's Word in prisons and on street corners and even in churches. So, when I was installed a few days ago as pastor of the Wildwood Presbyterian Church in the state capital, Tallahassee, of the great and sovereign state of Florida, I felt very much at home when I walked to the American Legion home where 55 to 60 people are meeting and saw these notices. Now, your eyes are not as good as mine. I want to read you this. Dancing, 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 round, square, jitterbug, disco every Wednesday and Friday. Dance to the finest country music and the biggest and best dance floor in the South at Whiskey River. And then this one, Florida Statute 562, etc., prohibits patrons from bringing liquor into a beer bar in any fashion because we have a beer license and intend to protect it. I felt very much at home. But it's a strange thing. The strange thing, in the United States, most people don't feel quite the way that I do about where we worship. In spite of that, we took in more members in the few days I've been there than the days I have been there. Prospects are good. This is a state capital. We own some nice land, but we do need your help for the building to go up. So please don't be backward in coming forward. Thank you, and I trust that 1 minute. Thank you. I'm John Rock, Jr.
Hey, don't go away.
John Rock, Jr. of Westminster Chapel in Sumter, South Carolina. It's a blessing for me to be here. A year ago, I was not in the denomination, so it's a blessing that 8 months ago the Lord led me in. We've had many blessings at Westminster Chapel in Sumter. We had some new families in the 8 months to come in. We're going to be organized, the Lord willing, in a month on July the 23rd. On August the 1st, we hope to buy 6 acres of land in Sumter at a very good location. We need a building because we are meeting presently in a wood frame home built in 1843. It's a senior citizen's house called the Golden Ages Club. When I first came to Sumter, I thought it was a meeting place for post-millennialists. We're very thankful, though, for this house, but we need a building very badly. I think the key words are credibility and viability. In a town of 35 to 40,000, with 7 other Presbyterian churches, and we're the only PCA witness, we need a building with your help. Thank you.
I'm Laurie Jones, the pastor of the Covenant Presbyterian Church in the 5th largest city in the United States, a city of a little over 2.5 million people. growing by approximately 2,000 to 2,500 people a week. 441 new cars a day being put on the highways. But most importantly, it's a city with thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have no knowledge, no saving knowledge, of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The city is Houston, Texas. We're a church that has come from a number of different backgrounds, different denominations. But the Lord has given us 120 members with a deep commitment to the Reformed faith, a real love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire to be obedient in all things. There are several real needs for a building. One is financially. We pay approximately $1,000 a month for the rental of a school building for 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening on Sunday. Second is identity and stability in the community. Houston is a highly transient community where people are looking for something that is stable, something that is permanent, something that they can attach their roots to. I would also make a plug at this time, if you have families moving to Houston, ask them to look us up, and they'll receive a real loving fellowship in the bonds of Jesus Christ. Thank you. I am John Stodgill, Trinity Presbyterian Church in Mobile, Alabama. In the year or so that we've been there, we've seen dry bones begin to stand up, take on flesh and skin, and breath come into their bodies. And we are convinced that they're going to become a great army. Presently, we're meeting in an expandable trailer, sitting on a piece of property in the midst of one of the fastest growing sections of any city in the South, in the midst of homes ranging in price from $60,000 to $200,000. It's rather difficult to walk through a door of a mansion that sold for $200,000 and invite someone to come to a $15,000 trailer. We need the room for Sunday school and Christian education, and we challenge you to share with us in the gospel in the seat, the hotbed of Presbyterian liberalism in Mobile, Alabama. I'm John Finley, pastor of Pine Woods Presbyterian Church in Cantonment, Florida, that's north of Pensacola. We're a new church that has a love for one another, a burden for the lost. It's been exciting since I came this past Sunday to see this and the people. They're a group that has been self-supporting from the beginning. God has richly blessed them. He has provided them, at the present time, a rent-free high school to meet in. He has blessed them as he has provided the opportunity, and they have now purchased 10 acres of land. And around that land, in the next year and a half, 300 homes are going to be built. So now we await God's good pleasure and guidance as we seek to serve him, asking and praying that if it's his will that we have a building to go up to meet this need as these people are preparing to move into this rapidly growing area. Thank you. I'm Randy Polk from Atlanta, Georgia. Our church is Perimeter Presbyterian Church. One of our greatest blessings came in how we acquired our first facility, what we're using now. When we began, we prayed that God would provide us a place that we could meet. And the very day that we had asked the Lord to provide our facility, we were given a facility that would rent for approximately $2,200 a month that we only pay $50 a month. So we're quite blessed in our facility now. However, we are about to outgrow it now, and our needs for a new place are very great. And we would very much like to put our money into land or building instead of rental. So we would desire to get land and building as soon as possible. Thank you. Paul Guriani, Erie, PA. I'd like to relate a brief story that happened recently. The mother of one of the people in our fellowship was dying of lung cancer. And the bad part about this was that she wanted no part of Jesus Christ, of Scripture, of prayer. But the family didn't give up. They prayed. I listened to even the children praying in our evening service. And all the people in our fellowship prayed. And one day the family said, you know, there hasn't been any change. in her attitude, but we think you better go see her. So I went to see her, and even though she had said she didn't want any prayer, after I presented the gospel, she decided she wanted to receive Jesus Christ. And she prayed with me and received Jesus Christ. In the 3 weeks before I ended up conducting her funeral, we saw real growth in the Lord. Most of that Christian growth took place, well, all of it did, at home, in her bed. With some of the other people whom we've seen make professions of faith, we have every reason to hope that they can look forward to a long life of service with the Lord, and we would like to see that. But it's somewhat difficult to explain to them at times how to find our meeting place, how to give them the directions to the room in which we meet at a Howard Johnson, which is a few miles outside the city. And when we come to this point in talking to people, it would be very helpful to be able to tell them where we meet, that it's a church building that they can find and have easy access to. Thank you.
My name is John McNichol. I'm also from Houston, Texas. I'll just ask you to remember the figures that Lori Jones gave you and save you a little bit of time on the statistics of the area. We were not only the first PCA church in Houston, we were the first PCA family in Houston. About 5 years ago, and we've been self-supporting in our church for the last 4 years, we're now meeting in our third temporary facility. The Lord has given us 2 acres of property, which many of you are praying with us for. We appreciate and thank you for that. The property is 12 miles from where we're now meeting, so we have a little bit of a identity problem in the community, even at this time of being there for so long, because so many of the people are transient, coming in and moving out so much and so rapidly that it's hard to really maintain a strong nucleus in our church. But the Lord has blessed us, and one of the real blessings that I have had has been to just see the Lord do the impossible in our lives and in the life of our church, and to really show us how our faith can be blessed as we trust Him to provide for all of our needs as He promises us. I think the 5 and 5 campaign is particularly important for smaller presbyteries that have more of a financial limitation. And we've been in this type of situation in a small presbytery and really feel the need of the support of the whole denomination. Thank you very much.
Jack Hoffman, Clearwater, Florida. Our greatest blessing has been to see people who have been ministered to, both with regard to the presentation. Wow. Both with regard to our presenting the gospel and their accepting it, they're turning around and witnessing to others and to ministering to people who have been in financial crises, who have been in divorce crises, grief crises. To minister to these people, have them in turn turn around and minister to others in the very same circumstances. All of us need building for the reasons of credibility and stability and community. Hauling the junk and the hymnals and all of that stuff every Sunday morning gets to be a pain after a while. But the major denominations of our nation have recognized the growth potential in Central Florida, and within the last 2 years, the PCUS and the Methodists have come into Clearwater, have plunked down enormous sums of money, bought up pieces of property, brought in a man, handed him a bank account, started buildings, and started churches. Just like that. And when you're in competition with that type of thing, a building is a real need.
I'm Rick Perrin, pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh. We're 3 years old. We meet in a filthy little YMCA. They're nice people. They very thoughtfully decorated the meeting room where we meet on Easter Sunday with green and pink streamers and little Easter bunnies and all that kind of thing. And it's not all bad. God is providing. Lord willing, this month we will complete payment on 13.5 acres of prime land along Interstate 79, right on the edge of the fastest growing suburban area of Pittsburgh. We feel that we cannot afford to wait to build. We cannot afford to build, however. Our solution, our session has just called our people to a 2-month period of special prayer, asking the Lord of the church to provide for our needs. And that church has just committed itself for its complete asking for the 5 and 5. That could be said of others in this group. Just comes to me there. My name is Dale Linder. I'm pastor of the Koinonia Presbyterian Church in Cumberland, Maryland. We're presently meeting at the Holiday Inn and have thus earned the nickname affectionately in the community of the Church of the Holy Day Inn, and also are known in other circles as the only church where you can walk out of church and into the bar. The term credibility and visibility are words which I think each man on this platform lives with daily. It is our desire that you would give serious thought to those words, to imagine yourself in our position. The newest church in our area is a brand new multi-purpose Church of Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints. We believe that God is raising up in the Cumberland LaVale area in western Maryland his people. We would like the opportunity to minister to them, to give them absolutely the best possible ministry that we can. Our church would ask the General Assembly to participate with us in that ministry, that we might become fellow ministers of the gospel of Christ. Thank you. I'm sorry, but I think for lack of time, I'm going to ask the men that remain, each of whom would have a story to hear, to just come and give his name and his city, the church that he represents, and where they meet now. And just say it in a few words, if you will, just one after the other, and I think that'll tell the story. Dick Davies, pastor of the Grace Presbyterian Church, Metairie, Louisiana. My wife and I live in the church where we meet. Jim Campbell of Westminster Presbyterian Church of Columbus, Georgia, and we meet in the Seventh-day Adventist building.
My name is Dan Ice from Richmond, Virginia, a ruling elder of Calvin Presbyterian Church, and we meet in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I just want to say we're the only PCA church in the old capital of the Confederacy.
Ron Boston, the Harvest of Presbyterian Church, just outside of Washington, D.C., in Springfield, Virginia. We meet in an American Legion Hall. You haven't lived until you go into an American Legion Hall, and you've got a bar going while you're preaching, and you've got four white seats behind you with about 200 cases of beer behind you, and sometimes even when you have communion, you've got to take the beer cases and set them out and put a little white sheet over top of it to have your communion. And your children, for 2 years, have to go to the bathroom, and you lay a rug on the floor, and your children sit in the bathroom for nursery. Fortunately, we've moved out of that, and they can walk about 150 yards over to a building now where we have a little room set aside for a nursery. But we've recovered your prayers for us. Thank you.
I'm Ed Cunningham, the pastor of the Grace Presbyterian Church of Stone Mountain, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. We're meeting in an old white frame schoolhouse, which is close to 100 years old. It has one large L-shaped built a room where we worship, and another room, one thin wall away, which has the nursery. And the competition gets pretty heated sometimes on Sunday. I'm Grady Law from the Providence Presbyterian Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. We have an older home, two-story home, for our facilities at this time.
I'm Bill Woodhall. I'm the organizing pastor of Mountain View Presbyterian Church in Grand Terrace, California. We presently meet in our living room. However, we are buying some property that the 5 and 5 campaign can help put a building on.
My name is David McKay, Greensburg, Pennsylvania. We have been in existence 1 year. We presently are meeting in the YWCA building in Greensburg. This is our second meeting place in 8 months, and the reason for that is because we have had pressure from other Presbyterians in town to kick us out, and we look forward to the day when we can lock and unlock our own doors.
I am John Robertson, the pastor of Riverwood Presbyterian Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
We have a twofold ministry, a community ministry and a ministry to the students at the university. 150 students sometimes worship with us. We have bought 5 acres. We have built a house, a spec house on those 5 acres, and left out the interior walls, and we worship there. We can seat a maximum of 150 right now. Thank you.
My name is Bill Carlson. I'm from Pompano Beach, Florida, with the Pompano Beach Presbyterian Church, and we are the ones who began in the flaming pit. And I'd like to make it known that we have been delivered from the pit. And we are now meeting in the Carpenters Union Hall, 3206. And we're sandwiched between the First Baptist and the First Methodist, which is a good place for a Presbyterian. And we do need facilities desperately. I know any realtors in Pompano. If you need to move down to Pompano Beach, I can get you in touch with a good realtor. The land is very expensive. Our facility last week, my little 11-month daughter was in the room where we keep our little ones. And just last week we had two born. Two of our families had children. We have one more that is with child right now. But it broke my heart to go into the room where my daughter was sleeping and pick her up and to see her sweating profusely because there was no air conditioning. This is the difficulty that we have.
I'm Bob Smoot, and I am the pastor of a very old church. Been around for 79 years, and I have been pastor of it for most of that time. And that's how I know it's old. We had a very beautiful property. We had 15 acres, a brand new stone, big stone church on the property, and the thing was valued at over $1 million. And the United Presbyterian Church sold it from us so that we don't have any church at all now. So we're meeting in a lovely place, beautiful school. We were in a junior high school. We have graduated to senior high school now. And we have a lovely auditorium, all the classrooms we need. The only thing is, it's air conditioned. The county will not sell it to us. So we have our plans for our new building, and I have to fly back to Baltimore tonight. The session said that they didn't see how we could raise $1 million tonight without my presence. So out of the 5 and 5, one of that will do us. Thank you. I doubt if you'll get it. My name is Laurie Vidal. I'm pastor of Faith Presbyterian Church in Gainesville, Florida. We also have a dual ministry to the community and also to the University of Florida. We are now meeting in the library of a private school.
I'm Michael Williams from Louisville, Kentucky, and we meet in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I'm Paul Ratchford from the South Point 13 Church in Gastonia, North Carolina. We have two problems. The first one is that we would be the next one on to be assigned to build this year. We have a modular home, double-wide modular home that we're meeting in now. We can seat approximately 100 people. We're very proud of it. We've got a problem with that, though. It's not paid for. We've got to have money to pay for it. Then our other problem, we've got to have a preacher to lead it.
I'm Earl Jaggers of Grace Presbyterian Church, Jackson, Tennessee. We're one of the churches that lost its property to the PCUS. Now, we are presently meeting in Ellis Chapel on the old Union University campus there in Jackson, Tennessee, through, you might say, the courtesy of the Baptists. So we do have them to thank for our present facility. Thank you.
Bob Baxter, Texas Presbytery. But I don't live in Texas. We formed the first PCA church in Kansas, Olathe, Kansas, a suburb of Kansas City. We're meeting in an old junior high school without air conditioning. We left a $2 million United Presbyterian Church behind. You've heard about viability and credibility. We also wanted visibility and accessibility, and so we bought property right on the junction of I-35 and U.S. 169. Now we have to build a building, and we have a lot of people to look after, so we have strange problems to build a building that size. when we haven't paid for our property yet either. We had 574 people at morning worship last Sunday, so it's quite a challenge. Nevertheless, we hope to be able to help with the 5 and 5, and hope we won't have to ask you for funds. But we don't know how we're going to get that building built, and we're happy for the 5 and 5. We could use another one of those 5, too. And for every dollar that that church is putting into its building fund, it's putting another dollar into benevolences.
I'm Dick Fraser, organizing the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in delightful DeLand, Florida. We're meeting in the DeLand Garden Club Center. It's a fine facility. It is, however, a single open room space, and every activity goes on simultaneously without any acoustical or visual barriers. Everybody is in everybody else's hair.
Bob Penning, Bethel Presbyterian Chapel in Lake Charles, Louisiana. That's Louisiana Presbytery, and that's also Cajun country for many of you who know something about that. You also know that it is the land of Roman Catholicism and monstrous cathedrals, which always dwarf even the best Protestant churches. Well, where do you meet, Bob? We meet in the First Federal Savings and Loan Building, the East McNeese branch in Lake Charles. That's a question that keeps coming to me time after time. Although we've been running a small ad in our city newspaper in its Saturday edition on the church page. And I even have that question from people who ought to know better. For example, I was at about my third meeting of Gideons, and you know, the Gideons are usually some of the most spiritually mature in the city, and even they ask me time after time, where do we meet? So we really need your help, brother. Thank you. I want you to hear a Clowney in 30 seconds.
Ah.
David Clowney, co-pastor, New Covenant Fellowship, inner city Atlanta. We're meeting in a community center in a housing project. It's a great place for us. It's been a blessing to us, but we will soon need our own community center where we can have worship services, Bible studies, a thrift store, family counseling, legal aid, and any number of things of that sort, so that we can be the clear presence of Jesus Christ ministering to the needs of that community.
This flesh and blood, too, is the PCA, and let us realize it this morning, brethren. I just want to tell you, and Solomon said, the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. And God blessed David because he wanted to build the temple. What is in your heart, brethren? As you've heard these testimonies this morning, I ask you as you go back to your churches and to your officer groups, how are you going to treat the 5 and 5 campaign? You cannot be delivered for the blessing that was upon David, in whose heart it was to build the church, but he never built the temple, unless you died. That's how David was delivered. As long as you are in the flesh, you have an obligation, I believe, before God with me to these brethren to get them out of their makeshift situation. And I remind you again in the 12th chapter of 2 Kings, the description of the rebuilding of the temple, repairing the damages of the house wherever any damage may be done, may be found. So the damages have been done by liberalism in our time to our churches, these churches here, and then the description is given of how the money was gathered, as it says, that they brought before the Lord the money of each man's assessment. Too rigid an idea, was it, in asking of $60 per member over 5 years? The money of each man's assessment, and all the money which any man's heart prompts him to bring to the house of the Lord. The assessment has been asked, and the heart is joined to that assessment. Now, we have framed personal pledge cards, and I ask the administration committee permission to have each man have one of these in his hand. And I believe that if we had done this, that we could have had $200,000, 200 men in the assembly today who would have signed up to give $200 a year over 5 years for $1,000 in a personal pledge over and above and apart from anything else that is being done by your churches. And it was thought best not to do that. So I'm not asking you to do it. I'm just telling you that it's up there, and we're going to have it available, and you can take it, and you can make out that kind of a personal pledge and identify yourselves. I'm not much of a man for invitations, but I am going to ask, I dare to ask it, how many of you care enough for the situations that these men have described therein, that you're going to try, you're just going to try to do something about it? If you will you stand with me, please? You're just going to try to do something about it. You're just going to try to do something about it. Dear loving Father, we confess before you that we are yet sinful. And when we do our best, it still is not deserving of your glory, of your matchless holiness. And we come before you now in dedication afresh to this good and great and holy cause. Some have tried to push it away from them, and from their officer groups, and protect their people, and say we've got too much to do right here where we are. But, oh Lord, what a beautiful outpouring of consecrated giving there has been, and of pledging by little churches. Churches that were hemmed in on every side, that had their own building needs, but they're doing what they can. And Father, we believe that you're going to do a great and a wonderful thing in the year that is before us, as you have in the year that is past. Take us, we pray thee, and use us where you have put us to represent this cause where it'll count. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.
Mr. Chairman, microphone 9, may I have the floor for a special privilege, sir, just for a couple of minutes? It deals with what has been going on here with the mission of the U.S.
It deals with what's been going on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's hear what you have.
Gentlemen of the Assembly, I have a couple of statistics I would like to give you. In 1976, we had on the floor of our General Assembly 325 teaching elders. We had approximately 265 ruling elders. I happen to be a ruling elder. This represents on the floor of the General Assembly approximately 44%.